Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome to Walls in Our Minds. This is Terry Dodd, and I'm on tonight with my co-host, Mr. Red Beckman. Red, are you with us?
Present and accounted for.
Amen for that. Red, would you like to open us up in a prayer this evening? And before you do that...
I don't think I can right now. I've got a catch in my throat I've got to get rid of. So you
all
better
right,
do
I'll
the,
open
the
us in prayer.
Honors. Yeah.
I'll do that. Father God, I just come before you tonight with a humble heart, and I want to lift up our sister Janet, Mama Cooks, tonight, and her daughter who is starting treatments, and we just pray for her health, and we lift her up to you and ask that you put your healing hand on her and bring her back to full health. We pray for that whole family and the grandchildren, and I'm just thankful that we have you to turn to. We ask your spirit to be with us this night, but Father, we're mindful that tomorrow morning a historic event is about to occur. And there's a man with a heart that is focused on you. His name is Pastor James David Manning. And we praise you, Father, for the courage that you have instilled in him. And we ask that you be with them tomorrow as they march around Columbia University. And we pray, Father, that the right people show up for that. And we pray that the people across this country and around this world are made aware of the events that are going on there. I pray for peace throughout these marches. And I pray that if anybody attempts to create a false flag out of this, that you would squelch that you would shut them down, that you would crush them, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus that what is going on there will be the equivalent of the falling of the walls of Jericho. We know, Father, that it was not the cadence of those people that brought those walls down. And we have tremendous walls here in this country. We have walls in our minds, and we have political walls and judicial walls. And they have turned this country upside down, and we have allowed it, Father, and we confess to you that we have not been good stewards of the rights and the republic that you gave us. But we ask you now, Father, we ask you to help us restore the gift that you gave us. We know that we cannot do it without you, and I pray that you're with those people as they march around Columbia, that you be with David Manning, you keep him safe and his family safe. And I pray that the truth come out in a big way, Father, in a huge way, enough so that it turns this country upside down and makes people recognize that there has to be a change that starts with turning hearts to you. And we pray that you restore the faith of this country. We want you to be on top. We want you to be the sovereign, and we want to be under you and only under you. And we want this government to be back under the people. We want the pecking order to be straightened out in the way that Red has been teaching us and talks about all the time, Father. So we pray this boldly for you, Father, and we ask you to go before them to, and what they're doing with this trial, and that you help them to bring forth the truth about Obama and all of those that have been complicit in this fraud of putting him in as the president of this country. We pray this in the name of Jesus, Father. Amen. Well, Red, did you get that catch out of your throat?
Well, I hope so, but I won't guarantee anything. We had a very warm day, and the warmest day of the year that we've had, and I guess I'm just not acclimated for it. Too dry. The air is so dry here this afternoon, and I'm just not used to that here with all the rain we've had in the past. But, you know, this trial in there in Harlem is going to be, people need to pay attention to what's happening there, and I hope we've got plenty of independent news people there that are going to try to keep us abreast of what's happening. You see, I'm going to be in Missoula, Montana. Let's see, it's a week from tomorrow night. Excuse me. I have been working on the presentation that I intend to give there, and I've been so impressed with a lot of the accounts in history at all levels of government where the people have had to come to grips with the fact that governments have no power other than the power that we give them, or the power which they can take by subversion from us. And I'm going to be talking about how powerful we were supposed to be. Our Heavenly Father made us in His likeness. And when you think of His likeness, you have to think of power. Unlimited power. And, our power, it is our power that has been used by government to do so many, many evil things. And it's because we, the people, have never been taught. We have never had it stressed to us, the fact that we are supposed to be functioning in the likeness of God, which means we're supposed to be in control of our power. We're not supposed to be letting somebody else use our power. When George W. Bush, they started the Iraqi war, it was a violation of the supreme law of the land. It was a violation of the oath that George W. Bush took, and a lot of other people as well, because the supreme law of the land says that only Congress can declare war. Then, of course, they started the Afghan war. I guess they started it before or whatever. I can't even remember now. Well, what's really been going on, they've been at war for a long time. We've had our secret agents in all of those countries over there. The CIA has... they have brought about the changes of government, the changes of systems over and over again. That's one reason why we have the problem with our Iran today, is because our CIA went into Iran years ago. 50 years ago they were doing it, going in and causing regime changes. And did we, the people, knowingly give that power to the government? No, I should say not. And it's the reason for it is because We have never been taught in our schools, in our churches. We have never been taught by the media. We just have never been taught how we are to maintain control of our power. And I've been working on this for my presentation in Missoula, Montana, when they have that rally there in a week or two, about 10 days from now. Well, it won't be that many days because I leave here early on next Friday, not tomorrow, a week from tomorrow morning, so that I can be in Missoula that night. And so I've been working on this for, you know, for the last few weeks here because I don't do much public speaking anymore, I'm rusty when it comes to that, and I just am not real comfortable with it. I have to work at it, and that's what I've been doing. And James David Manning, Ph.D. The more I see of the fellow, the more I am, amazed, because here is a perfect example of how when people recognize what has happened to them and all, what this trial is all about, is Dr. Manning, he wants to take our power back. He wants to take our power back from the courts that refuse to hear all of the legal arguments that have been challenging the eligibility of Obama. And we gave the courts the responsibility to, adjudicate these kind of problems, and the courts are not doing it. And so that power comes back to we the people. And Dr. Manning, he's got the right idea. I can assure you that at this point in time, I'm going to support him with my thoughts and my prayers, because I just... I think we're due for some major changes in this country, and if it wants to start in Harlem, that's just the better. If it'll start in Harlem, that would be fantastic.
Well, in his latest video that he put out, Red, he talks specifically about how we have been denied due process. And he also is talking about how that there are a lot of people that are going to be there covering this, and that there's going to be a great deal of coverage around the world on this. I know that J.B. Williams is following this with the folks at Canada Free Press, and of course WorldNet Daily is going to have representation there. They've got foreign press that's going to be there. I don't know who else is going to do this, but it's going to be awfully difficult for them to not show several thousand white people marching through Harlem. It's not just the trial that's going on here. This,
yes.
Manning recognizes that this is a spiritual battle, and this is a spiritual event. And he is boldly proclaiming and claiming the victory that God is providing. And I hear that, and I hear his confidence and the faith that he has, and the way that he is presenting this with such a high level of he is just absolutely faithful in believing that God is going to deliver. And he believes that the truth is going to come out and that this nation is going to be transformed as a result of this. And I cannot help but to feel and sense the energy that he's projecting. He's not just paying lip service here, and it's just going to be a real event that we've got to watch, and we've got to demand coverage on. I mean, everybody that's listening here, if you've been listening like I have, and I don't watch TV a whole lot anymore because I just watch it enough to see what lies are being told, really. But
my computer is I'm not being able to get YouTube and such, so I'm kind of out of touch here for the last 10 days or so. I get the printed stuff, but I can't get YouTube, and I can't get pictures. I don't know why, but the techie that works on it, he just can't seem to figure out what's wrong with our computer. But anyway, speaking about the coverage, I think that foreign countries are probably going to get a much better coverage than we will in the United States.
Well, it seems like it. I mean, he's known for some time that he's got commitments from foreign press to cover this. So that'll be very interesting to see if our media, who thus far I have not heard a word, a peep, out of anyone in our mainstream media, or I should say lamestream media. But I haven't heard a word. Has anybody heard a word? If you have, put it in chat. Because I have not heard a single thing, not out of Napolitano or Beck or Riley or Hannity or any of these so-called patriots.
The so-called conservatives out there that we have really need to be exposed for what they are. And this may be part of the process of exposing these individuals that you just named, Riley, and of course Hannity and Gush Limbaugh, and I've called him Gush Limbaugh for a long time. They really need to be exposed, and it's going to happen. It is going to happen at some point, and just when? Well, it'll happen when the people of this country take their power back. Reminisce about what you've learned about history in the past. And, of course, I love to do that. And I was thinking of the Montana Vigilantes, 1863, 1864. The elected officials, they had government. They had, it was a territory, of course. They had government. They elected sheriffs and such as that. But the elected officials became so corrupt, and so the people had to take the power back. They took their power back, and when they did, they cleaned up the corruption in Montana. They hung a bunch of the gangsters. The cottonwood trees are pretty good for that, and they did that, and they were able to take their government back. They were able to take their power back. And this is what it's all about at this point, is are we going to be able to take our power back? And I think it's going to happen. I had a fellow come out to the house last night after 9 o'clock. He's running for the state legislature here. And I was just absolutely amazed. He's a Christian man. And but he was an immigrant in this country. He came from Finland, and he didn't come over here. He had done his military. I guess they have a requirement for a couple of years of military over there. He had fulfilled his military commitment, and then he came over here, and of course he's had himself naturalized and the whole bit. But it was really interesting to hear what he had to say. So many times people that come from Europe and such, they can see through the phoniness in a lot of what we have gotten so used to that we just don't pay attention to it. But they're just a little bit more politically tuned in, I guess, and so it was quite a session. And I asked him, I said, how about the local tea parties? Well, he said, they've got a local tea party, but it isn't going anywhere, because he said the guy that's heading it up told everybody in no uncertain terms that the Tea Party was going to support Israel. I thought we were supposed to be supporting the United States of America, and we were to be taking care of the problems we've got here at home. We just don't have the energy to waste on other countries out here. We have no business interfering in other countries when we ourselves are in such financial, our problems with our debt and such is just so tremendous. England doesn't have a debt. They don't have much of a debt at all. The United States is the nation with the highest debt. I mean, it's just debt every place. And we need to be tending to the problem.
Well, people keep talking about, do we believe that they're doing anything about this? Well, the news won't come out and tell you, with the exception of Beck. And as much as I criticize Beck, I have to really commend him for some of the things that he's been saying, because he does seem to be trying to educate people within the limits that his bosses will allow him to do. Last night he was talking about Murray Strong, and he keeps talking about, he refers to this government, this regime, if you will, he refers to them as Crime Inc. And that's absolutely the truth with regard to this debt. It has not quadrupled by accident. They have deliberately done this, and they are continuing to do it. And it just amazes me how the people continue to stand by and send their income tax checks to these criminals. It's amazing to me. And as much of a box as I lived in most of my life, I don't see how people can't see it now. It's so blatant. It's so obvious. How can they deny it in their minds?
It's very difficult to understand. And, of course, as we go along, I have a tendency to blame our churches more than any one particular area of society, our society, our civilization here. I was talking about taking our power back, and when have you heard a minister in our churches talking about the fact that our Heavenly Father created us in His likeness with all of this tremendous power that we have? And you don't hear preachers talking about this, that we were to have all this power, and we weren't to give it just, blank check to the government. And, of course, there's a certain amount of error in what they teach, Romans, the 13th chapter. It just is not being taught. And, of course, the pecking order, you've been exposed to it now for just about a year, I guess. And you realize, you recognize now, I'm sure, the importance of of we the people understanding this order of authority that, you know, that we were supposed to have in this country. The authority, the churches would have us believe that the government is the authority. And if the government says you can't have the Ten Commandments in your school or in your courthouses and such, if that isn't blatant, what would you say? What would you call it? If you can't use the Ten Commandments as a basis in law, your country is in deep trouble, as ours is.
Well, Red, we've got to do more. The educational process is not progressing as quickly as we need for it to save this country without going through a lot worse times than we're facing. We've got to be able to raise people up and take a stand in such a bold way that it cannot be ignored. And I'm just praying that what James David Manning, this black pastor, I'm just praying that what he's doing is going to act like the enzyme, or as Jim Borland's book says, the ensign. I pray that this can become the ensign, the banner, the flag that people can rally around and really stand up and take a stand. I mean, we've seen what's happened with the tea parties, but now it's got to go to another level. It's they've not been able to ignore the tea parties, but to a certain extent they have. They've even ignored when you've had 2 million people or more on the mall and in the streets of Washington. And I hope Dr. Kate's listening right now, and I hope she can come on with us right after this break. We'll be taking a break in about 2 minutes. But right after that break, I'm hoping that she can come on and talk with us, because she put a post. Did you see her post, Red, on Dr. Kate's View day before yesterday?
I think I know what you're talking about. Dr. Kate just thrills me to death with what she's doing and how committed she is. It's so encouraging, because we've got, this is repentance, and this country is not going to survive its mistakes unless we have some repentance, and we're having some repentance. And when I did that show with Dr. Kate last week, I tell you, she gave me a thrill that has lasted all week, because she told how that here she is. She was at this conference in Bismarck, North Dakota, and 50 people there representing Indian tribes and the Corps of Engineers and the Bureau of Reclamation. And they started the session in the morning with prayer. And at the end of the day, they closed with prayer. I wonder if the ACLU has found out about that. What Dr. Kate had to say about that, just I'll tell you, she gave me a whale of a boost in my spirit. I hope she will come on here after the break.
Well, I believe she will. She's on as host, so she's listening. She's just been working on, she's preparing for the meeting coming up Sunday night, which I'd also like for her to talk to me about, because when we come back from break, I want to make an announcement about what's happening with the Continental Congress. And Kate's certainly an integral part of that. And so let's go to break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Walls in Our Minds. Well, I'm hoping that Janet is not having computer problems. Janet says, Froxen, frozen. The switchboard is frozen. Okay, so I guess we won't be going to a break. Well, hopefully we can get Dr. Kate to come on here, but let me tell everyone what's happening with the Continental Congress. There was a substantial group of us. There we go. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Paul's in our mind.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon
Welcome back to Walls in Our Minds, and thanks to Dr. Kate, because Mama Cook's switchboard line froze up, and Kate was listening and jumped right in there and helped us out, and thank you, Dr. Kate. And in just a moment, Kate, I'm hoping you'll come on here and talk to us a little bit, but right now I'm going to let everyone know that this Sunday night there will be a meeting of the Continental Congress. In order to elect new officers. There has been a push by a significant number of states across the country to for the Congress to be more aggressive, if you will, in putting forth the balance of the Articles of Freedom and also putting forth and communicating a better and more aggressive civic action plan. So This Sunday night, we will be electing new officers, kind of getting some fresh blood in there, if you will, in order to really start doing the work in earnest that we intended to do after we left St. Charles. And I am just excited about this. And to have this happening at the same time that Dr. Manning is doing what he's doing in up at Columbia University in Harlem with his trial, I just believe that God is moving, and I believe that there has been repentance. I believe that people have recognized that we have really believed the lies for too long, and that it's come the time that we've got to take responsibility. And so, Kate, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Very clear or not very clear?
Very clear.
Very clear.
Oh, very good. Good evening, Red. Good evening, Terry. Nice to hear you, and I've been enjoying your discussion. And indeed, I've been working on this Continental Congress meeting. We found a new online meeting tool called WebEx, and I've been transferring databases and so forth and so on. We just got the new version today, which really allows the Continental Congress to have confidential votes online for new officers to basically have meetings, different workrooms if possible, to have motions recorded. The order of people raising hands can be recorded so that everybody's motions and discussions can be there. Very thrilled. Terry, we have 31 states. Our quorum is 25. There were originally 48 states there. So I'm very excited, and I just love this WebEx tool. So I have to admit I have no other life right now except working to ensure the Continental Congress is able to move forward and really step up there for the work I know we intended to do. And frankly, I know that God we had plenty of opportunities to throw the towel in, and, you know, God kept saying, let's keep going. And that's why I feel so confident now and very excited, and hope you'll forgive me for just being able to drop by for a few minutes, but that's hopefully addressing the announcement that Terry made. We're all very excited about this.
Well, Kate, you put an article out the other day that really got a lot of people pumped up, not just me. You could see also in the comments that were coming back in from your regular viewers at your blog about a renewed civic action plan. Would you like to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I really would. And, you know, I greatly appreciate Red talking about Reverend Manning, because, you know, he's one, too, that has reached the point that I have reached, which is basically, you know, right now I can see the whites of their eyes. And, you know, that old battle at Bunker Hill was, the saying was, don't fire till you see the whites of their eyes. And we've been patient, we've been, you know, protesting, we've been praying, and no one who should step up has stepped up. You know, Republicans complain about Obama and the Democrats as if it was still a right-left paradigm, when in fact Obama is ineligible. They could stop all of this by being frank and laying it out there. You know, their intents to destroy America, I think, are very clear. So here I have been writing for like a year and a half, almost 2 years, you know, exploring every nook and cranny of the deceit that's going on, and doing my best to lay out opportunities, joining the Continental Congress. But I've kind of had it, because at this point they all know they're in serious violation, and they're not expecting a response. So I began to think about, look, we really need to do a big thing, and we need to be able to do this in a confidential manner, because they're listening to our phone calls and our blog talk radio shows, and they're reading our blogs. So every movement we make is something they can anticipate in the media and so forth and so on. Like the purposeful ignorance of anything we do as patriots is planned. They're going to have 2 million people there. We'll just ignore it. So I got to the point where I thought, look, it's time. So interestingly, the thread with the Continental Congress is that, you know, we one of the reasons we want to get going more is to create a better civic action plan than what we left St. Charles with. And again, with the Continental Congress, using this new WebEx online meeting tool, I basically am offering, and I put the link in the post, it's on drkatesview.wordpress.com, and the post is called Stop Them Cold. And it's inviting everybody who's interested, and right now the meeting capacity for the next month is actually 50 people, maybe 100. I haven't fully gotten into the software yet, but is to come and have, if you are interested, if you have seen the whites of their eyes, if you have read everything you think you possibly can and know what's going on, and are frankly tired of writing about it, want to do something about it, not that nobody else is, but let's meet together and have a confidential, strategic discussion of what kinds of things we can do. For example, truckers blocking the entrances to cities, on a monthly basis, doing some things in a seemingly random way, but in every state in the United States, or different blogs developing coded stories, if you will, to begin to start taking strategic action. In other words, becoming the elephant in the living room that nobody can afford to ignore anymore. So let me stop there and for the description, or if you have some questions or what.
Red, what do you think of that?
Well, I think that, it's time that we see more happening. We need to see people hitting the streets. Last week on Thursday during the day, I was on the Alex Jones show, and I brought out how that the people finally, after I think it was 20-some years of living under this iron fist of that old dictator, the people had enough, and they, they had come to the point where they were going to take their power back. And the people, they just went into Budapest, and they were just, the streets were just totally clogged with people. The old dictator ordered the military to clear the streets, and this one military unit started down that main drag, and they didn't go very far, and they stopped, had a little conference, went back to the government building, the castle or whatever they called it, and they arrested the dictator. They had a military tribunal, and they found him and his wife guilty, and I think there was one other, and they took him out behind and lined him up against a wall, and a firing squad executed him. And that happened on Christmas Eve of 1989. And it was really kind of strange. It took me totally by surprise. I just kind of give a short sketch on that. And Alex had that video clip of the massive crowds in the streets, and then the video of the dictator and his wife laying dead in the snow with the blood and all. And he had that, and he showed it on his he's not all radio, part of it is TV. And I couldn't help but think, we need to contact Alex and see if we can get, if in his archives, if he's got some of that video, we might should be trying to take advantage of that and using some of that and give the people in this country, an idea of what can happen if they'll get their act together, and a civil crowd response. The military, they need to know that we the people are going to back them if they will back us. We've got to get this across to them. And of course, I get to meet Stuart Rhodes, the fellow that has organized the Oath Keepers. I get to meet him next week in Missoula, Montana, because he is one of the speakers there, too. And so, all this is pretty exciting stuff, what we're hearing, and we're going to get a lot more. And, of course, the Continental Congress, I'm sure glad that they didn't just fade off into the woodwork again. They're not going to do that. That's quite apparent at this point. And Dr. Kate, I don't know if she remembers what I said when I spoke at the Continental Congress, how I said that the federal government is going to go down. It is going to self-destruct, and we need people who are getting their act together now so that we've got some leadership in this country to pick up the slack when the federal god goes down. And it is going to happen. We don't know when, but I don't think it's going to be very long, and so the Continental Congress is probably the best vehicle out there to help train this leadership, and that might be something that the Continental Congress needs to, consider is, setting up a team to go around and teach this leadership that we're going to need. I better not start trying to give the Continental Congress ideas, because they've got a lot of ideas of their own.
That's a great idea, actually.
Well, there's no question that there are some very solid, cool heads that are a part of this Continental Congress. We've got a lot of human beings. I mean, they're all humans and all frail and all fallen, every one of us. But at the same time, this has been a little bit of a test of fire, because you had people coming from every walk of life into this Continental Congress. And they don't all see eye to eye. They're not all social conservatives. As a matter of fact, we had atheists and people, when we started talking about the abortion issue, didn't even want to bring it up for fear that it would shoot down the whole Congress, because they were more concerned about getting the goodly number of millions, if you will, to agree with restoring constitutional republic or constitutional governance, that they weren't willing to take that risk. And there were people who, on the other side of the coin, that when that happened, literally walked out because they didn't want to endorse Articles of Freedom that did not have a right to life clause in it. This has been a test of fire. And I believe that it's interesting now that we're beginning to see the majority of the states, the people that are staying the course, that are willing to hang in here and continue the work and want to do more. I believe that group is starting to take shape as a reliable and trustworthy group collectively. And I remember that the first Continental Congress, that they literally had people, having fist fights. And then the second go-round, then they started actually being productive and proactive and getting some things done. And I kind of see that's where we're at right now, don't you, Dr. Kate?
Yes, I do. We've really been tested, I think. And, you know, we've come to fisticuffs in our own ways. And I honestly feel that there is a renewed generation. And I honestly feel that that God is there. You know, Red, I just want to say I just appreciate so much your vision and positiveness, and it really requires, I think, 100% faith in God, even the difficulties. And so as I watched all of the Continental Congress unfold, you know, you have to go back to that. Is this the sign? Are we supposed to be doing what we're doing? And, you know, Terry, because of the fire that we've been through, I feel more confident than ever that, yes, this is the right thing to do, and I am totally energized.
It's exciting. And I'm looking
really
forward
is.
To Sunday night. And I'll tell you, I just want everybody to understand that the one person who's been doing the heavy lifting to make preparation for this, now I'm not saying Dr. Kate's the only one. There are others out there that, you know, that are taking the lead in the admin committee, and people that stepped up to fill important positions. And but the person that's been trying, you know, in my mind, doing the hardest work on an ongoing basis, Dr. Kate, you deserve some serious kudos here, because you put time and thought and sweat and showed courage, and you stayed the course when some were trying to thwart us. You know, they tried to demonize us. They tried to do everything else you can imagine, and you stayed the course. And you know, there's been a few times that all of us have worn a little thin, but you know, we've showed back up the next morning, you know, with a clean shirt on, if you will, ready to go at it. And I just want to commend you for staying in there and hanging in there and taking the flack and not letting it get the better of you, because a lot of people, there have been some that have walked away, and there are a lot of people who would have walked away. And I believe that, you know, somebody's had to hold that staff up like Moses, if you will, almost parting the water. You know, God had him hold that staff high because he knew that the people needed an image to follow. And, you know, there's been a group of people that Kate's been a part of that. And you know, thank you for holding that banner up, that holding that staff up high, and also letting God go before us. That's critical. So I just want to commend you, Kate.
Thank you so much. And like, as you said, I'm just one hand on that staff because, you know, one person couldn't do this. So thank you. And when I see you again, I assume you will deposit the requisite amount of chocolate for all this work that I've been doing. Just kidding you all. It has been a labor of love for my country and for God's will. And it's like a new life for me. And thank you very much. It's been very inspiring. And speaking of that, I have to get back to that life and finish up this database and figure out how to use this new tool we have. So thank you so much for inviting me in and letting me share all that stuff. And thank you for letting me exit. And I'll still be listening. So if there's another break you need and Mama Cooks is locked up there, just let me know.
Thank you, Kate. Red, I'm going to give you the floor and let you comment to that.
Well, you know, the history that I have read, you know, about the birth of our republic, those people went through some really difficult times, and there were so many with egos that were way too big, and those egos can be a real problem. But the longer they worked at it, the more that they worked at it, the more they matured. They learned what it was to be a leader and what it took to be a leader. And they were able to, assemble, to put together the Declaration of Independence. And, of course, they had problems there until Ben Franklin recommended that they have a minister come in and give an invocation before each session. And the same thing happened, of course, at the Continental Congress in 1787. Because the egos of some people seemed to get in the road and cause problems. But when they gave recognition to our Heavenly Father, it always seemed to work better, and everything would come together. And before the War of Independence, how much did people hear of George Washington and Patrick Henry and the Adams boys up in the Boston area and all? These are people that came out of nowhere. And I shouldn't say nowhere, but they're people that came out from the general population, and they accepted responsibility. And God honored them for that. And God really, they were endowed with a lot of wisdom that they would not have had without God's help. And, I was just thinking here while Dr. Kate was talking there at the last, the Continental Congress assembled back in November, 6 months ago this month, I think it is. And I can see some things that have happened because there are people like Dr. Kate and Terry Dodd and a bunch of others that have, kept after it and stayed with the program. And, boy, I think the next 6 months is going to get real exciting for the Continental Congress. And people that weren't known beyond their small circle of friends and such, and business people and such, may very well end up being national figures instead of just local grassroots kind of people. And we're going to see that happen. I'm really, really anticipating, the growth and the capabilities to make things happen. This has been 6 months. It's been quite a training period for just about everybody. And it's going to be gung-ho this next 6 months. I think next 6 months we're going to see some real results coming from, what was put together with that Continental Congress. Somebody had a lot of nerve to try to put that together, and, of course, we have to give Bob Schultz the credit for making it happen. And now, of course, he's got people that were delegates there that are probably taking almost more responsibility at this point than Bob himself. And let's hope that works. We've got people that have grown tremendously in 6 months, and you're going to see a lot more in the next 6 months.
Well, I don't want to go into much detail. We're up against a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Walls in Our Minds. Captive free, and not let Satan have one more. What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate? Took a stand upon God's promise. Welcome back to Walls in Our Minds. This is Terry Dodd. I'm here with my co-host, Red Beckman. Red, which Indian nation was used in World War II when they were wanting to send messages that where the code could not be broken?
I think they used several different nations. I don't think the ones down in the Southwest.
Apache?
I can't think down in Arizona and such. I think they were very much into that. That was one of the great stories coming out of World War II. And they didn't just have to stick with one tribe's language. They were able to use the languages from different tribes, and of course that sure didn't, it didn't help the enemy at all, because it really messed them up, because they just couldn't decipher. They couldn't find anybody that knew that language.
Kate says in the chat room that it was the Navajo.
The Navajo, yeah, that was a big one. I know they used some of the Sioux, as I remember. And of course, there's a half a dozen different Sioux tribes. It would be fun to know, just what was happening on the enemy side when they heard these messages, they were totally frustrated. They couldn't do anything. They didn't gain a thing by listening in on our radio transmissions. It was really a very fascinating story.
I know that was an awesome idea. I mean, be curious to know who came up with the idea originally, too.
Yeah.
You were talking about, I do want to give credit to Bob Schultz for having the vision to put the Third Continental Congress together.
You have to recognize that Bob put an awful lot of effort, a lot of resources. There was just a tremendous amount of detail work that had to be done, and he was up to it. He was able to put it together, and I'm sure that in the beginning, I'm sure that he was pretty nervous. Bringing in people from all the states like that and knowing full well that there would be those who would have an ego bigger than themselves, of course, and one thing or another. And he had to do a pretty good job of keeping everybody's, kept them from blowing their stack and trying to take over and make everything go their way. That had to be a tremendous job. And, of course, Bob had his right-hand gal there, and he had his wife was there, and they all need to, we need to recognize them all, their contribution, because they really did put themselves out.
Well, I must say that once the group came together and elected its officers and started working together as a body, that body has been most effective at squelching any egos. And there have been, numerous attempts from various entities to push their weight around. And I think it's good now that the leadership really is more diverse and not reliant upon any one person or one organization. It's really now acting more like the voice of the people. And just like this meeting coming up on Sunday night, we've already confirmed that there's going to be over 30 states present. Kate said 31 confirmed. And still another five or six states that could join as of yet. And that's a great sign that we've got that kind of unity and people willing to do an ongoing effort to continue this and to really bring it out, to work on a proactive basis to make a real change in this country for the kind of change that we need, which is really to go back to our basic principles of a small government and sticking to the Constitution. And I don't believe that, I didn't go to St. Charles following one man. I went to St. Charles, Illinois as a delegate following an idea. And that idea was God being the sovereign and us being the ones instructed by him to subdue and a constitution that's under the people, putting back the pecking order that you have so well articulated, Red. And I believe that that's what's going to make this fly. It's not going to be just one man. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be the voice of the people. And I'm really pleased that we're able to continue working toward doing some great things as a body of delegates elected by the people.
I think you ought to tell the people how you're gonna do this. You're gonna do this using modern technology. You're not gonna reassemble at St. Charles and Illinois. You're gonna do it by electronic means, and you're putting modern technology to work. And tell the people how you're gonna do this.
Well, Kate did that a while ago when she talked about the WebEx program. It's basically a conference software.
Everybody will be on their computer. Is that it?
Well, you can also call in by phone, but it's much better if you call in by computer because, one, it allows you to you can chat directly with individuals. Let's say you want to converse with the other delegates in your state to determine what your state vote's going to be on something. You have the ability to chat privately with any individual delegate that's invited in. And in order to get into the delegate position, you have to be credentialed and you have to receive a particular invitation to get access at that level. We can also allow other participants to come in as attendees and just listen. They cannot participate or vote, but it is possible for others to come in and observe. But on the voting of it, we've got it set up so that we can do a private vote for the purpose of elections. Now, in other situations where we're voting on things like rules and decisions related to the articles or civic action, in many of these cases, we want those votes to be public. But where you're sitting there voting for an election of officers, we felt that it would possibly be better for that to be a private vote. But if you come in by your computer and you're a delegate, you will also be able to present things on the screen. Let's say you want to present a motion before the body for them to vote on or to deliberate on. You can actually put that on the screen for everyone that's participating to see. So you have a presenter function. You also have ways that the delegates have to be able to mute themselves and unmute themselves so that if there's something, let's say a point of order or they want to, you know, raise a hand or whatever, they've got to be able to do that. And if for some reason there's a problem, they've got to be able to speak out. Yet at the same time, they need to be muted when they're not talking so that you don't get a lot of interruption to the meeting. We're trying to keep it as smooth flowing as possible and keep it organized, but at the same time where delegates can still have a voice and debate properly. And this program allows us to do all of those things in a very professional and straightforward way. And so the people that call in by phone, they will be able to interact, but they're not going to have the same level of interaction that they would have if they're on their computer. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I'm not technologically illiterate, especially with the computer, and I'm sure there's other people out there the same way. You don't have to have, of course, the St. Charles thing last November was great because you had the faces and you had the bodies and everything. And so when you do this meeting on Sunday evening, you're going to be able to put a face on everything that is said by the different delegates and such. And that's going to be a real thrill. You're going to be talking to old friends, friends that you associated with on a very serious basis back in November.
And that's very true.
It's got to be an exciting thing. It's got to be really exciting.
And frankly, we still want to be able to have, perhaps an annual meeting where we're coming together in a convention directly so that we're seeing each other face-to-face and having those late-night conversations and going and sitting on a couch or working as a committee and, doing that sort of thing face-to-face. We want to do that, but this allows us to come together more often without spending a fortune. And basically all of these people are working on a volunteer basis. So in order to come together and go to the expense of being away from home and having a facility where we can all have a big meeting, it can be rather expensive. And we would have to raise funds for that because we're not on a fiat currency where we can just issue more paper to cover our costs. So we've been, the people of our states have donated funds and through the We the People Foundation, they put together a fundraiser in order to facilitate the meeting in St. Charles. But that's all very time consuming and expensive. So by being able to meet virtually like this, it allows us to continue the work on an ongoing basis without suffering that expense.
Mm-hmm.
But we do still plan to get together with live meetings, where we're face to face.
Mm-hmm.
Red, I would like to kind of come back a little bit to talking about Dr. Manning and the CIA trial, the eligibility trial that's going to start tomorrow. I really want to urge people to be praying in the morning. I really believe it's important because it won't be their cadence that brings down Obama or brings the truth out. It's really going to be a God thing, and I know that Pastor Manning is relying on that. So I believe that we've got to get the word out. We've got to let people know we need to be calling the lamestream media and demanding, hey, why aren't you covering this? They're not, which I'm sure they're not. They haven't said anything about it yet. I just, it's going to be interesting to see what they have to say and how they try to demonize things if they do cover it. So I believe that people, we've all got to be willing to stand up and to call in, write in, whatever we have to do to make sure that this gets proper coverage. But also we need to be lifting our hearts to God and asking him to make this a very special event and multiply the efforts. Do you have any more feelings on this, Red?
Well, I just, you know, I'm optimistic because you see, Dr. Kate had only been involved in the freedom movement for a few months, basically, and I think about the same thing. It was the same type of thing with our host, Terry. Terry Dodd, I don't think he had been that active in the freedom movement other than just the last couple of years. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct. I was pretty much, I was active in, as a conservative, but I really did not see through totally the left-right debate smokescreen. I thought that most of the Republicans had a much higher level of integrity than it turns out that they have. And I've always been aware of a lot of things going on and have studied things. I was aware of the Constitution and what its original intent was. I had a good understanding of what it really intended by the keeping government out of our religion. I had a good idea of the Bill of Rights, but I was somewhat political. I was somewhat partisan, and I bought into a lot of stuff that was absolute deception. And I really started coming out of it early in 08, spring of 08, when I really started getting my eyes open. And got much heavier.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. You multiply that by millions, and it has to be a major, major monster concern for the so-called progressives and the liberal left and the Republican machines. I mentioned that we had a fellow come out to our house last night. It was after 9 o'clock when he came out. He's running for the state legislature here. And he had been part of the Ron Paul campaign in the area. And he had talked to me on the phone, and I had told him how that he should go to Google and look up that 90 or well, it's a 2 hour TV program that we did in 93 and I just tell people try to watch the first 90 minutes. The rest of it is not that vital. Well, he did that, and it left a tremendous impression on this fellow. And so here he is. He's an immigrant to the United States of America. He's been here, must be close to 20 years now. He speaks very good English. You wouldn't know that he had been born and raised in a foreign country. You just wouldn't have known it. And he's going to run, and in Washington State, you don't file for the office in the state legislature until after the first of June. And he told me, he said, he had run once before, and 2 years ago, I guess it was, and he ran as a Republican. Well, he didn't get very far because this is a very Democratic area because of the industry that we have in this area with a lot of wage earners, and so the Democrats are very strong here. And so he decided that he's going to run as an independent with a libertarian, you might say, influence or whatever. And I told him, I said, I don't like that idea of the libertarian. I said, I've spoke at a lot of different libertarian conventions, including their national convention in Chicago in 91 and such, and I love those people. I got a lot of friends in the Libertarian Party, but two of the primary planks in their platform is free immigration and free trade, and both of these are things that I cannot support, and I wouldn't join the Libertarian Party for that reason. And So I told him, I said, well, you ought to run as a Democrat, and then you just ought to announce that the Democratic Party has been stolen, and by the Karl Marx Obama people have stolen the Democratic Party, and so you're going to run as a Jeffersonian Democrat. And just see what happens, because I think you'll find that there's a tremendous number of Democrats that are not real proud of Obama and his tricks that he's been pulling out of his sleeve here. And, you know, I think that he could have something that would, you know, be of interest to the working man in this area. We've got warehouse or timber, and I don't know how many employees they have, but I'm sure it must be in the thousands. Their sawmills, paper mills, logging. They're shipping a tremendous amount of logs out of the country to Japan and China. And then we've got Longview paper, or Longview fiber is what they call it, and I think they've got 900 to 1,000 employees. Well, that's all union stuff, and of course the Democratic Party is very strong, and I think we really need to have candidates that will run as Democrats, and then in their advertising and such, I think they need to say, hey, our party has been stolen, it's been hijacked, and we've got to take it back. And so I don't know whether he will or not, but I told him, I said, the Republican Party has been hijacked. It's been stolen, too. So it doesn't make any difference, but you want to make sure that you're not a Karl Marx Democrat or a Karl Marx Republican. You don't want to get involved in anything like that. So as you can probably guess out there, I have quite a bit of... I have quite a, I mean, I get entertained by these things when I'm able to talk to candidates and such. And of course, when he left last night, he had a copy of my book, Walls in Our Minds. And he was so impressed with that video that we did way back in 93. He was so impressed with it that I'm sure he'll read my book, Walls in Our Minds, and I'm sure I'll be hearing from him, which, you know, that kind of stuff really thrills me. I get carried away, I guess, with things like that. When I ran for governor in Montana, I ran as a Democrat, and I told the other candidates, they didn't want me running as a Democrat. And I just told them, I'm a Jeffersonian Democrat, and if you don't agree with Jefferson's politics, you must be a Karl Marx Democrat. And, of course, that's the last thing those Democrats want to be called, is a Karl Marx Democrat. And so you gotta use that tactic. You got to use that. Because it makes them very, very uncomfortable.
Well, today you'd have to run as a tax protester party candidate.
Well, I like that tax protester party. The more I talk to people about it I explain that all the part of the party's platform would be to cause the federal government to obey the law, the supreme law of our land, and not get into all of this other stuff, that has a tendency to divide people. So the tax protester party, if all they are saying is, hey, the federal government is going to have to obey Article 1, Section 8, and Article 1, Section 9, Clause 4. These are the two clauses in the Constitution that limit the kind of taxes that they can lay on the people. Article 1, Section 9, Clause 4 says there can be no direct tax. And if you're a working man on a hourly wage or whatever, and you paid an income tax this year, you're paying an unconstitutional tax. And our government is a criminal government because they want to use fear to cause you to part with that money, and here it is, it's a violate. That tax is not a constitutional tax. So the tax protester party, this would be their responsibility to bring this out, educate the American people on this, and say, hey, we want the federal government to obey the law. We want a government of law, not men. And I think, I'm getting good feedback from people on it. And what's really interesting is when I explain this to people, I say, the first five presidents were all tax protesters. And then we quit electing tax protesters, and that's when our country started getting into trouble. And nobody argues with me, because that was getting up not too far away from the Civil War. And the Civil War was a terrible, terrible, terrible thing that happened to this country. And it's history that, I'll tell you, it really bothers me that we have that war in our history. And when I find out who was responsible for it, now I see we're up against the break. I hear the soul all stop.
Let's talk about the Reconstruction period following the Civil War when we come back, Red. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Balls in our minds.
You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You might be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody.
rock and roll addict, dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody. You may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Welcome back to Walls in Our Minds. This is Terry Dodd. I'm here with my co-host, Red Beckman. Red, you talked about taxes, and you mentioned the Civil War. You know, if you really look at the ambush where we have been taken over by this de facto government, and maybe I probably need to help people understand what I mean by de facto government. If you look, if anybody's got a Black's Law Dictionary, the sixth edition, on page 697, it defines government de facto. And a government of fact, it says, a government actually exercising power and control as opposed to the true and lawful government. A government not established according to the constitution of the nation or not lawfully entitled to recognition or supremacy, but which has nevertheless supplanted or displaced the government de jure, which is the government, the lawful government. A government deemed unlawful or deemed wrongful or unjust, which nevertheless receives presently habitual obedience from the bulk of the community. That is a government de facto. And if you look at this ambush that we have, you know, we find ourselves in today, and you start trying to trace back how we got led into this ambush, it goes back to the time of the Civil War. And specifically, it starts out during the time of Reconstruction. There were a number of things and series of things that happened there that I don't have time I can't really articulate a chronology of it. But, you know, you look at the 14th Amendment, for example, where they really, instead of making the slaves citizens, they really made everybody fall under the corporate de facto government. You hear things like in statements today, which are not new today, but they're restating the same thing, and that is never let a good crisis go to waste. Well, the greatest crisis that we faced in the past here really was our Civil War, and they certainly did not let it go to waste. They rammed things through that the lawyers and the progressives rammed things through during that era and did it in an unlawful way, the same way that they fraudulently put in the 16th Amendment, which obviously, Red, you can talk to even better than I can. But this time of the Civil War was really a critical time in our country. It was a turning point, because they had the more conservative senators and congressmen that were in fact not even seated, and these progressives which controlled the North, they took advantage of that situation, and they put a gun to people's head literally to make them approve things that they would not have approved otherwise. And that really started the snowball that has brought us forth to today, where we've been under the control of that de facto government just about ever since then. So, Red, do you have anything to – I mean, I've been rambling on here.
Well, I think that we're living in a time span right now where we're having a lot of researchers that are studying the Civil War, and they're coming up with some pretty strong conclusions that the history that is taught in our schools and such is not the true history of that time period. And you have to go back to 1837, and I think I'm correct on that year, 1837, when Horace Mann, who was an avowed socialist, he came to this country, and he was determined our country into a situation where the government controlled education. In other words, brought government schools into our system. And 1837. By 1850, he had been very, very successful. And we actually had some places in the country where troops were sent out and they took children away from parents the parents didn't want them in a government school, and they took the children away. And this, of course, when we hear, you know, what Dan Gonzalez has found out and a lot of others, these child services agencies and such, this kind of thing has been going on from way back. And the thing that really strikes me is who did we have in the political world at that time that had the leadership capabilities, that had the commitment, all of that that you found in the people like Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin and all those men who served and, you know, signed the Declaration of Independence, signed the Constitution for the United States of America, and all of that. You, I'll tell you, it's real difficult finding the names of anybody in that Civil War time period that really would impress anybody that's a history buff. With their leadership ability, there was way too much corruption going on, I'll guarantee you that. And of course, you see, we'd had the international bankers and the European monarchies. They had gotten involved in the game because they just did not want to see the United States become a nation of free people because they were afraid that if we were a nation of free people, we would outproduce, we would have the greatest society on the face of the earth, and their people in their systems, which were mostly feudal systems, their people would want to throw off the yoke of the feudal system. They'd like to throw it off and establish a government like we have in this country. And so I don't see the leadership there. And when I went to high school, I remember studying Lincoln. And as I remember, I was the only one in the class that didn't like Abraham Lincoln. I felt at that time, of course, I was reading history. I loved history. I read history. And my opinion of Abraham Lincoln was not according to the history books that they were using in the history classes in my high school. And so I think that... we've got a lot of people in the United States today that are finding this history of this time period really deserves our attention and really deserve us to do some real serious research and come up with some real, some real good information so that we have the truth. You see, what we were given and what we were you might say, inundated in is propaganda. The history of the Civil War, as far as I was concerned, wasn't about slavery at all. And I remember my folks were in the Virginia area 1938, 39, 40. But we got there, I think it was in 37. And we were living out of Richmond, Virginia, 15 or 20 miles, and had a very, very large pine forest where we were at. And there were seven of us children. And we explored that pine forest, and we would find these trenches. We found cannonballs, all kinds of Civil War paraphernalia that had, because there had been some major battles fought there. And and in the spring, I think it was 1939, it may have been 38, but I don't remember for sure, we were inspecting that pine forest, and we found a plantation mansion that had been burnt in the Civil War. And it was in the spring, and the place, the only things left standing, of course, were the big fireplaces, the big brick fireplaces. And I think, if I remember right, some of the pillars were there in the front, the portico or whatever they called it. But the thing that impressed us, and I have never forgotten it, daffodils. The whole, all of the area around it, this great house had been built on a mound. They had built this mound up, apparently, and they built this beautiful home. It had to be a beautiful home. It was very large, but there were the lawns. The area around, out away from this place, had all come back to pine forest, where they had grown cotton and peanuts and tobacco and such. Whoever it was that had that place were burnt out, I suppose murdered, and such. And the pine forest just moved in and took over. But we found this out in the middle of that place, and you couldn't tell that anybody, there was no road in there that was a traveled road. It was all grown up in pine forest. And I remember we kids, we were just awestruck because all these beautiful daffodils, it was a couple of acres of daffodils. You know, the pine forest hadn't taken over in the yard, and I don't know why. I have no clue why. But it had a lasting impression on me to see what war can do. This had to have been a fantastic, beautiful home, I'm sure, and the big monster fireplaces and such. And it was all wasted. It was destroyed because people have a tendency to become evil if they don't live under the rules of God's laws. They do these kind of things to each other, and it's something that we really need to learn. We need to get our fellow countrymen to understand this, that we have to have a God's law foundation under our political our system. And so here I am. I'm rambling again, but I think that the Reconstruction period is a black page in our history, and what the carpetbaggers did in the South and such, it was criminal. There's no question about it. In my mind, it was criminal. And of course, I blame a lot of the European monarchies for what happened in our Civil War. I think they had their CIA people in here from these different countries causing a lot of our problems. And and of course, you know, my little book, Walls in Our Minds, there were people then, at that time, they were told lies, they believed the lies, and they had these walls built in their minds, and they paid an awful price. And today we're paying a serious price, And if our economy, if our monetary system falls apart, which it's very liable to do, we're going to pay for all the lies that we have believed and accepted as truth. When you believe a lie, what you're doing is you are accepting that which is false as being something that is true. And boy, I'll tell you, that's a serious thing to happen to you. Back to you, Terry.
Well, the more research I've done, Red, I have absolutely no question or doubt in my mind that the Civil War was instigated by the bank lords, the lawyers, and like you said, the Brits had a big influence over that. And I think it was in Henry Ford, 1921, that he stated, if we remove the power of money from the bank lords, that we would stop all wars.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes right back to your tax protester party and voting people into office that are tax protesters. When we stopped doing that, things started going south. And about 1837 was that's about the right time when we stopped doing that. And because we'd gotten far enough away from the Revolutionary War that people started believing the lies again.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought the country to devastation through the Civil War, and then they took full advantage of it. And they've been taking advantage of us ever since. And we've got about 7 minutes left, Red. And before we close the show out, I'm hoping that I can get you to close us out in a few minutes with a prayer. And again, I really want to focus on what's going on up at Atla Ministries and with the CIA eligibility trial. I'd like to close us out tonight remembering that and asking everyone to, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing I'd like for you to think about is what's going on up there, and to focus on that, and to get on your knees in the morning and pray while those people, they're going to start marching about 9 o'clock Eastern time.
That'll be 6 o'clock my time.
Right. 7 o'clock in Mountain time. So,
I hope we get some press out of this. I'll tell you, the corporate structures that we have that control the media in this country, too much like the people that we had back there in the Civil War, too much we had, bad people in positions where they would say things, and what they said would be broadcast, you might say, to the people by the papers, newspapers, and they didn't have radio, of course, and television. But they did communicate with each other, and there were a lot of lies. My goodness, let's see, what was it, 1871 or 1872 when they incorporated Washington, D.C.? Absolutely no constitutional authority whatever to do what they did, but they got away with it because people were not paying attention as they should have, and they had walls in their minds. Our pulpits had betrayed us at that point in time, and of course that hasn't changed. The pulpits are still, I've got to, we've had a listener from California, pretty regular, and he's got his minister, his pastor, that I've got to set a time here, and we're going to have a telephone conference, because this pastor, he thinks this tax protest that we're really bad because we're not paying our taxes as he thinks we should, because Romans 13 says we're supposed to do it. And of course, He's using a version, a translation of the scriptures that I'm not that familiar with, and where the King James talks about tribute. Tribute to whom tribute is due. I prefer to go with that translation for the simple reason that it was tribute that was being paid, not taxes. And the version that he is using, they took the liberty to change it to taxes. Well, taxes are one thing. Tribute is something entirely different. It's what you pay to a conqueror. And if your country is conquered by an outside enemy, outside of your country, and if they are in control, they want tribute. It's not taxes, it's tribute. And there is a difference. And when the Apostle Paul wrote Romans, the 13th chapter, Israel was under the iron fist of the Roman Empire, and the people were conquered. It was a conquered nation, and the Roman Empire demanded a certain amount of tribute, and that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about. Now, we paying this income tax, we are a conquered nation at this point in time. Actually, we have been conquered by subversion, by evil men and such, and so, but they call it taxes, and that really we should recognize the income tax as being tribute to a conqueror. And now that may come as a jolt to a lot of people, but that's the way it is. And so I think it's probably about time that we close this off for another two-hour program behind us. I hope that we have been able to communicate with people out there some truth that might help break down or dissolve some of the walls in their minds. We have to recognize that we have been misled in our education process, in our churches, the media. We have to recognize that we have been too trusting. We have trusted these different sources for information, and they were deliberately giving us false information. And so you want me to close right now?
Yes, we've got about 1 minute left, Red. We've got about 1 minute left.
Yeah. Okay. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee recognizing that we have made so many mistakes. We have failed to live by the instructions that You give us in Your holy word. We have failed, and we recognize that. We want You to help us to recognize the failures that we have done that have happened to us, or we have missed the truth. We have accepted the lie. We have accepted propaganda rather than truth. And we ask, dear Lord, that You would help us. The Apostle Paul told us, if we have not received the love of truth, we would perish. We are going to perish in this country if we don't repent. And so with that, I'm just praying, dear Lord, that You will help us, guide us, give us that, or let that gift of truth, that the love of truth, that would be so real to us. We thank You for giving us the words to speak tonight. We thank You for everything. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen, Red. Thank You so much, and I will see you next week. Everybody, thank you for listening tonight. We'll be back next Thursday night. Walls in our mind.
Or disappear into the potter's ground. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured 100 weight and penny pounds. When the man comes around.
Thank you. touch the sky. Ponder the vastness in the depths of the sea. And aim for a moment, the point of it all was to make much of me. I'm just a whisper, and you are the thunder, and I wanna make much of you, Jesus. I wanna make much of your love. I wanna live today to give you the praise that you alone are so worthy.
Can fathom in this Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hands, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. Alone.